Trendstorm.
Our final topic, picked by you, dear listeners, earlier in a poll on our Facebook page, is Venezuela, military coup attempt or terrorist attack, focusing on the violent event that unfolded recently in the South American country. The world can't stop talking about the incident that took place at a military base in central Venezuela earlier this week, with Caracas condemning it as a terrorist attack, while many in the West believe that it was a military coup attempt. The reason why American and many other media outlets hold the view that they do is because the group of armed men in military uniforms who tried to take over the facility claimed on video that they were carrying out a coup. Though the Venezuelan military quickly suppressed the violence and said that the seven individuals involved were just terrorists who wanted to steal weapons. It's logical to presume that it would take more than seven people to seize control of a country's armed forces and overthrow the government, so there's reason to believe that all this coup talk is part of the externally waged information war against the country designed to provoke an actual military uprising by crafting the perception that the terrorists involved in this week's incident were just the tip of the spear. The reason why this sounds plausible to some people is because of the very high tensions all across Venezuela, which have been present over the past couple of years since the opposition began their effort to depose former President Chavez's successor, but have really hit a crisis point in the past week following the election of the country's Constituent Assembly. As part of President Maduro's plan to de-escalate the simmering situation in the Bolivarian Republic, he sought to give the population a democratic voice in drafting a new constitution to address their concerns. But the opposition boycotted it and afterwards contested its turnout results and overall legitimacy. The Constituent Assembly is now the main governing body in the country, however, so what they've essentially done is withdraw themselves from most decision-making processes going forward, though they've craftily manufactured the perception that President Maduro is on the cusp of imposing a dictatorship and can only be stopped through the urgent imposition of more sanctions and direct Western aid to the anti-government forces. So folks, we've been following this topic for a while now on Trendstorm, and we've been speaking regularly to Mr. Nino Paglizia, and I'm very pleased to announce that he's joining us again. Nino is the Venezuelan author of Cuba Solidarity in Canada, 5 Decades of People-to-People Foreign Relations, and he's also a retired researcher from the University of British Columbia.
Trendstorm.
All right, Nino, the international media is polarized over what happened in Venezuela earlier this week. So what do you think? Was it a military coup attempt or a terrorist attack, and why?
Well, actually, the group's own account, this was not a coup. The leader of the group of 20 people stated in the video they released, "This is not a coup, but a civic and military action to reestablish constitutional order." There is a lot to unpack in that statement. First, the leader of the group is the only person with military background. He was dismissed as a deserter from the National Guard in 2014. The rest of the group is formed by civilians. Second, the fact that they are dressed in camouflage military fatigue uniforms gives the impression that this is a military rebellion, when it is not. None of them is an active military personnel. Therefore, the claim that it is a civic military action has no foundation at all. This is clearly not a military coup. The army is solidly behind Maduro. It is the current Venezuelan context, attacks and killings of civilians, some in horrific circumstances. And the timing of this attack in Valencia, the day after the first session of the newly inaugurated Constituent Assembly, that makes me say that this is a terrorist attack with three main goals. Seize weapons to be used in future armed attacks. They succeeded in this to a certain extent. Two, create the illusion of a military uprising for international consumption and likely responding to U.S. color revolution guidelines. And three, ultimately foment a military rebellion. They have tried this several times already. All three goals have the intention of producing a violent regime change, no different from what as we have seen in Iraq, Libya, Ukraine, and now still going on in Syria.
Okay, I see. Well, it seems like you've already explained the benefit that the Western media and the opposition derive from portraying this incident as a military coup, which you very persuasively argued it's not. But how successful do you think they'll be in achieving those aims? I mean, you talked about how they want to stoke an actual military rebellion and overthrow the government. So how do you see their odds right now?
Well, the Western media really does not derive any benefit per se from spreading fake news. The Western media is a tool manipulated by the U.S. deep state to stir public opinion in the direction of politically motivated perception of reality. So we read, bad things are happening in Venezuela. Maduro is the dictator repressing people. Venezuelans want him out. Marco Rubio supports the armed attack. CNN Spanish calls it a military uprising. The reality is that the so-called opposition in Venezuela is desperate in the face of a still sizable support for Chavismo and Maduro. Now, the real beneficiary of the media disinformation is the Venezuelan opposition, who feels legitimized in their most violent actions. We may be seeing the beginning of the creation of a moderate opposition, in quotes, like in Syria. But when we speak of Western media and misreporting, we also have to mention the biggest loser. In this case, the Venezuelan people. I have seen the greatest confusion in the minds of some friends who do not read more in-depth and objective analysis and rely on sensationalist headlines and bylines. To the extent that there is an absence of truthful reporting, the opposition can be successful in creating confusion and doubt at the minimum. And it is relying on that more than following a democratic process to draw people to their cause.
Okay, well, thank you very much for explaining that, Nino. We have about a minute and a half left, so I just want to ask you real briefly how you foresee the U.S.'s sanction policy against Venezuela evolving in the near future, and what's the likelihood that the so-called opposition will be clandestinely provided with material and perhaps even militant assistance, as you infer there might be a quote-unquote moderate opposition forming in Venezuela, modeled off of what we see in Syria, what we saw in Ukraine, and in other hybrid wars?
Well, interestingly, the U.S. government has just imposed sanctions against Nicolas Maduro as an individual, making him only the fifth sitting head of state to be sanctioned. The other four include Iraq's Saddam Hussein and Libya's Muammar Gaddafi, both assassinated, and Syria's Bashar al-Assad and North Korea's Kim Jong-un. The common reason is promoting regime change in the respective countries. Now, this year, the U.S. has sanctioned also Venezuela's vice president, eight members of the Supreme Court, et cetera, including now more recently, members of the newly elected Constituent Assembly. Chavez Brothers is in this category. However, in my view, sanctions are really more a political statement than effective means to achieve the goal of regime change. In practice, sanctions will freeze Maduro's assets in the U.S. and prohibit U.S. doing business with him. But that will not force him to resign. Possible stronger sanctions on the country's oil resources are unlikely due to the fact that Venezuela is the third supplier of oil to the U.S., plus all the geopolitical implications involving Russia, China, in Latin America, in Venezuela in particular. In the case of Venezuela, sanctions may be a precursor of a more serious intervention. We have seen that in Iraq and Libya. That is what we have to watch for. I often compare the political situation in Venezuela to that of Syria. The U.S. has created an opposition in Venezuela that is using violence and terrorist-like actions. It is only logical that it will have to support it with weapons. I believe that Colombia, with several military bases, U.S. military bases, will facilitate the U.S. intervention in Venezuela. And that would be a sad, sad story.
Okay, Nino, thank you for explaining to our audience the difference between perceiving of events as a military coup attempt compared to a terrorist attack. And thank you also for explaining to us the intricacies of what's really happening there and where it might be going, especially concerning the media angle. Thank you for that.
Trendstorm.
Now we're going to hear what Mr. Gabriel Acuna has to say. Gabriel is a Mexican political commentator. All right, Gabriela, how much of a difference does it make if people perceive this week's event as a military coup attempt or a terrorist attack?
Okay, there's much difference because an internal uprising means Maduro must go. Allegedly, due to a social uprising from the Venezuelan people, bothered from the current government, supposedly, okay? There are unmistakable videos showing government supporters who are, despite what the Western media are saying, the vast majority, between about 70 and 80% demonstrating peaceful and unarmed. And the terrorist attack means an external driving coup, which involves Colombian government, Mexican, Spain, Western media, United Nations, all are working together to topple Maduro presidency. Let's keep in mind that Venezuela has the largest oil reserves on the planet, and Washington is hungry for this money. And Mr. Rex Tillerson was the CEO from ExxonMobil. So there's a connection. And, okay, second question?
Okay, I see. All right, well then if we follow up with that, then this hybrid war in Venezuela has evolved from an attempt at color revolution to an urban insurgency, and now it's turning into terrorist attacks against the military. So, Gabriel, how much worse can everything get, and what else do you think the opposition will do?
Okay, look, the hybrid war in Venezuela is not an urban insurgency because the people is not supporting the Washington warlords killing civilians. These CIA-trained assassins are the ones creating this terrorist chaos. It could get worse if Washington decides to bomb bridges, more hospitals, power plants, and oil production plants. Many options have already been planned by the CIA's long-time repertoire. So we may expect a lot more terrorists to come. But Venezuelan intelligence has been very diligent at frustrating terrorist operations and hunting weapon hideouts. So their intelligence moves very fast and with a very good result.
Okay, well, if we try to look a little bit forward here then, Gabriel, we see that President Maduro's Constituent Assembly has thus far failed to quell the chaos in the country, despite it being the most peaceful and democratic solution to the crisis. So are there any other administrative political methods that you think he should employ, or is an externally provoked civil war inevitable?
Okay, look, the Constituent Assembly has not failed. Is beginning the process on their duty to defend national interests and not to serve Washington terrorists infecting the country from Colombia. Going so far on this constitutional issue, it's not likely they will ever back down from their duty to defend the country. They will never get tired from it. And no matter how far the Washington media warlords orchestrate this theater of violence, keep in mind that Venezuela has not yet declared an state of emergency, and France has about 2 years on emergency status. Just simply, there is no tolerance for sovereign, independent countries that do not bend to the dictates of the Washington and her behind-the-scenes handlers. The fact the opposition is planning to boycott the election shows clearly they are not interested in democracy. They have one single goal: to oust President Maduro and take power. Privatizing state assets, especially hydrocarbons, which is petroleum and gas, to hand them to international, mainly U.S. corporations, to be exploited at no benefit to the Venezuelan people.
Okay, so how would you explain the role of regional countries in this regime change operation, such as Colombia, which I think you already mentioned is exporting weapons and terrorists, Brazil with its new right-wing government, and even Mexico? What kind of role are they all playing in these events?
Okay, they are playing the role accomplice from Washington. They are puppets from the Washington interest trying to topple President Maduro. So we can expect a lot more to come.
Okay, and do you think there's any actor? I mean, what kind of responsible actors do you think there could be that could maybe try to? I don't want to use the word intervene because it has a negative connotation, but try to calm everything down. I mean, do you think that Russia and China, even though they're pretty much limited to the UN, could have an effect on trying to de-escalate things, or do you think they're just too far away?
No, this can be de-escalated because Russia has the power to cool down the things, and China may intervene in the same way, in the same manner. For example, we have Ecuador government showing support to
to the Venezuelan people. And in some other countries in the area, they joined together about yesterday or 2 days before, and they are full and supportive of the Venezuelan people and Maduro presidency. That only the Washington puppets are the ones trying to escalate this civil terrorism in Venezuela.
Okay, Gabriel, thank you. This was very useful for our understanding, and I really liked how you explained to us the role that regional countries are playing in matters, as well as your forecast and where you see this whole hybrid war in Venezuela headed. Thank you for that.
Trendstorm.
Now, folks, after we reflect on what both Nino and Gabriel both share with us today, I think that we can really arrive at the conclusion that the situation in Venezuela, it's spiraling. I won't really say it's spiraling out of control just yet, but it really is getting to that point, and it's very sad to see, because this is an externally waged hybrid war on a sovereign state. This conflict is being supported by the U.S., Colombia, and other countries in the region, be it directly, diplomatically, or by extending their normative support to what is becoming a so-called moderate opposition, as Nino quite rightly said. And we'll just have to see where it's headed, but I have a feeling we'll be following up shortly on this matter, and we'll probably have these guests back on again. So folks, if you want to sign off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. And with this, we end this week's edition of Trendstorm, brought to you by Radio Sputnik. It was presented by me, Andrew Kurepko. Thank you for listening, and take care.